Good morning. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and today we're doing our services at Harmony virtually. So we'll be starting with prayer request, and then I'll be preaching a message from the Gospel of John. So as we get into prayers, please continue to pray for all those who are sick, including myself. I'm recovering from coronavirus, and so pray for my continued recovery. And also for others in our church, pray for Miss Althy, and pray for Jeff, and Becky, and Dee, and Wanda, and others who have been sick, and many others that we're praying for this morning. But we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to preach your word and to have this time of prayer. And we do pray for all those who are sick in the church. And I pray for continued healing for those who have COVID and those who are sick with other things, those who have been injured. And we do pray that you would just bless us and fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to get what we need out of this study this morning. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So we're continuing our study through the Gospel of John, and we'll be concluding chapter 1 today. And the title of the message is The Power of a Personal Witness. The Power of a Personal Witness. And we'll be in John 1, verses 35 through 51. So we'll begin with seeing that John points his disciples towards Jesus, verses 35 through 37. So verse 35 says, "Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." Now before he had said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And now he says, once again, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John knew what Jesus had come to do. Others were looking for Jesus to overthrow the Roman government and set up a kingdom. But John knew that the Messiah would come to be the sacrificial lamb to die for the sins of the world. And so he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So John pointed his disciples to Jesus. He was perfectly happy for them to follow Christ. That was his purpose. And some leaders are not happy unless their disciples follow them. But John wanted more than that for his disciples. He wanted them to follow Christ, and he let them go when it came time. I've seen covetous pastors who hold on to people who ought to be out in the ministry, but they always say, "Oh, you aren't ready. You aren't ready." And some people genuinely aren't ready. But pastors can be covetous and want to keep everyone for themselves in their ministries, but not John. He said, "There he is, boys. Follow him." So the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now the second thing that we see is that Jesus invites the disciples to stay with him, verses 38 through 39. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou?" So Jesus says, "What are you all looking for?" And that was an important question to ask because, as we said before, most people were looking for a Messiah that would come and overthrow the Romans. And so he says, what are you all seeking? What are you seeking? And they said, "Where are you staying? Where are you staying?" Now, why would they say this? Well, it may be that they wanted to talk to Jesus about things privately, and this was not a good place to talk. Or it may be that they wanted to let Jesus know, "Hey, we're not just coming to you to talk to you briefly. We want to stay with you. We want to spend time with you. We want to be your disciples. But at any rate, they said, where dwellest thou? And they called him Rabbi or Master, which would be the equivalent of us saying doctor, esteemed teacher. That's what the Jews would say, Rabbi. And so they are saying, we know that you are the big teacher. We know that you're the one that we should be listening to. And so they say, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. John is very specific here. The 10th hour, if this is figured using Jewish time, it would have been about 4 p.m. And that's the way time was figured in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John probably was figuring time by the Roman method, and therefore it would have been 10 in the morning. And that would have meant that they stayed with him nearly the whole day. Now the third thing we see is that Andrew brings his brother Simon, who would be called Peter, to Jesus in verses 40 through 42. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The other disciple is not named, so it was probably John, who is the author of the gospel. John doesn't call himself by name when he refers to himself. And that was a mark of humility. Not like the health and wealth preachers that you see on television who tell all kinds of fantastic stories about themselves and how God has met with them. And you should be very wary of anyone who makes himself the focus of Bible preaching. John wouldn't even name his own name. So one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. So Andrew was a personal soul winner. He went personally to his brother, and he says, we found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. Both Messiah and Christ mean the anointed. And anointing was very important in the Old Testament. Kings would be anointed, and prophets would be anointed, and they would anoint them with oil. And the anointing symbolized a special setting apart by God to do a special work, and an equipping by God to do a special work. And so here the Messiah is known as the Anointed One, and Christ means the same thing in Greek. But you see the pattern. John points Andrew to Jesus. John the Baptist points Andrew to Jesus. Andrew points his brother Simon to Jesus. This is the power of a personal witness. It's both powerful because it's personal and because of the one that it points people to. It's powerful when you point people to Jesus Christ. And that's what they did. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, some commentators say that it means a rock. But the distinction between a stone and a large rock are important later on when Jesus says to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Peter is not the rock that Jesus will build his church on. Rather, Peter is the little rock or stone. But Christ is the big rock. He is the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20. He's the head of the body, the church, Colossians 1:18. So Jesus Christ is the rock, but Peter was to be called a stone, which is very interesting because Peter was a tough guy, but he certainly wasn't steady. I mean, He wasn't a mark of stability. He denied Christ when he came under pressure, and he was very quick to speak and to claim things. Though all men forsake thee, I will not forsake thee. I will not deny thee. And Jesus said, before the cock crows, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. But when Jesus says to Peter, you're a stone, it's prophetic. He's seeing what Peter will be. And remember that when God speaks something, he speaks things that are not as if they were, because when God says something, it's as good as done. So Jesus looks at Peter and he says, you're going to be a stone. This is what you're going to be called, a stone, a rock, a little rock. And indeed, Peter became a rock of stability for the early church. And Jesus said, upon this rock, referring to himself or referring to Peter's testimony of Christ, not referring to Peter, but Jesus associated Peter with that and said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God can look at us and can say, you're going to be somebody that's going to do great things for my kingdom, even though we don't see it in ourselves. And so he says to Peter, you'll be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now the fourth thing we see is that Jesus calls Philip to follow him in verses 43 through 44. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. So here we have Jesus personally calling Philip. No one came to Philip and said, come with us and meet Jesus. Christ came directly to Philip and called him. But again, a personal witness. Jesus comes personally. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And the fifth thing we see is that Philip introduces Nathanael to Jesus in verses 45 through 51. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Philip comes to Nathanael. When he says the son of Joseph, we don't know if Philip believed that Joseph was Jesus' biological father, or if he was saying this because the Jews use the father to base lineage on. So Joseph, though he was not Jesus' real father, was Jesus' legal father, and therefore Jesus was legally a descendant of King David through Joseph. Biologically, he was a descendant through Mary. And that was part of the prophecy. The Messiah had to be a descendant of David. So Philip says to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. But then we see Nathanael's prejudice in verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. So Nazareth didn't have a good reputation. And Nathanael was a man who just said it like it was. He said what he thought. And so he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see, which is the best thing to say to people when they say, is God real? Is the Bible real? Well, come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. Read the Bible. Come to church. Come and see for yourself. Meet Christ. Come and see for yourself. And many men have seen and have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now we see Nathanael's skepticism, but now, and his prejudice, but now we see his Savior, verses 47 through 51. And we see the reference to Jacob in verses 47 through 48. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. The Jewish patriarch Jacob was known for being tricky, a deceiver. He tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright and blessing. But Jacob was also chosen by God, and he wrestled with God in Genesis, and God called him Israel. And essentially, Jesus is saying here, behold, a descendant of Jacob in whom there's no Jacob. There's no trickery in you. There's no guile or deceit. And that was an important trait. Psalm 32:2 says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So Nathanael, who had said just plainly, he wasn't a deceiver. He just said what he thought, and he said the truth, and he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And now Jesus says, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? He said, where do you know me from? How do you know this? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, I saw thou. Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The fig tree was a symbol of a safe place where one could get alone with God. Perhaps he'd been seeking God, studying the scripture, praying. But Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael knew what he meant. When we are seeking God's will and God's peace, and we think that no one knows what's going on, God sees and God knows. So then we see the confession of Nathanael. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Rabbi, master, teacher, doctor, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. You're the Messiah that we've been looking for. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And now Jesus is going to make another reference to Jacob in the Old Testament, and he'll reference Jacob's ladder in verse 51. And this is one of the greater things that Nathanael would see. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, the double amen. And this is something that Jesus said, but it's unique to John. John is the evangelist that records this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In the book of Genesis, and notice that in chapter 1 of John, John starts with a reference to Genesis. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's a reference to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. And now, he's referring us to Jacob, who became Israel. Another reference to Genesis. So, John has taken us from the beginning of time and the created world to the beginning of the nation that Jesus now comes to save. So, in the book of Genesis, Jacob is running from Esau, who is tricked, who he has tricked. And he comes to a place called Bethel, which means the house of God. And he lays down and sleeps and uses a rock for a pillow. And he sees a vision in his dreams, angels descending and ascending on a ladder, Jacob's ladder. God is communicating with man, heaven to earth. And in the book of Job, Job said, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. And so Job, in the midst of his despair in chapter 9, he says, there's nobody to come between me and God. I want to know what God is doing. I want to talk to God, and there's nobody that can come between me and God. And here Jesus says to Nathanael, you'll see it. I'm the ladder. I'm the way to God. I'm the one that goes between man and God the Father. Jacob saw the angels going up and down the ladder, but you will see that I am the ladder. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And that is the God. That is the Messiah. That is the Son of God that we point people towards. Let's bring people to Christ. That's the conclusion. Let's bring people to Christ. Just as Jesus personally witnessed, and he's our example. And just as John the Baptist pointed his disciples to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And just as Andrew brought his brother Simon to Christ, let's personally witness. Let's bring people to Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of things that we're a personal witness for. We're a witness for our favorite sports team. We're a witness for our favorite cars. We're a witness for our favorite foods and our favorite restaurants. But let's be a witness for Jesus Christ, a personal witness for Him. Let's get excited about Jesus and what He's done for us, and let's tell others about what He's done for us. You know, the Bible says, "He that believeth in Him shall not be ashamed." And, you know, if you believe in Jesus, you're not ashamed of Him. It may make you nervous to witness to people, but you're not ashamed. And if you get excited, if you get in the Word of God and get yourself into church and get excited about what God is doing, then you'll go out and spread the message, and you'll talk to your friends and loved ones about what you're excited about and what you're enthusiastic about, Jesus Christ. Let God work in your own life. Let God speak to you. Do what Nathaniel did. Get under the fig tree, as it were. Get under, get in a place where you can get alone with God and read your Bible and pray and let God speak to you, and then you'll want to go and spread that message to others. Let's bring people to Christ, the power of a personal witness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these, Thy people. I thank You for the work You're doing, and I do pray that You will bless us, help us to witness for Thee this week. Help us to get alone with Thee. Speak to us. Heal us. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name.